Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. How you doing? We're in week four of our series, Reality Check. Turn to someone and say, you need a reality check. It sounds like some of you need some coffee as well this morning. There was a wedding here yesterday, so a number of us are tired, and we've probably got something under our eyelids to try and keep us awake, but that's all right. Have you enjoyed the series so far? Yes? I've enjoyed the series so far, and I've really enjoyed studying it. In case you've missed a week, you're going to hell. No, I'm just kidding. You're not going to hell. But in week one, we talked about when it rains in our lives, the Lord still reigns. And if you were here about that one, we talked about how the psalmist was looking at the waves of the ocean and was just blown away how they just kept coming and coming and coming and how life is like that. However, our God is sovereign. And our God is still in control, and we're still in the palm of his hands. And so, although we may feel like we're drowning under the waves, in fact, he's still got a plan and a purpose and a mission for us to do, and how he is still in control. Week two, we went to this, we started actually that sermon in week two with this statement: life is unfair, and then we die. Who was here for that one? Yeah, it was a weird way to start a message, but it's a half-truth, really. It's a half-truth because we don't live happily ever after, we live happily forever after. And the idea of us having to zoom out sometimes by what's going on and to forgive reality, to allow God to move, because we've got to have eternity with him. And so that was a great message. That one spoke to me a lot. Last week we talked about how our identity is either in Christ or it's in crisis. And if you're here for that one, we talked about how God says he says multiple different things about us, but we looked at five different things that God says about each and every one of us, and how the enemy will come along and try and convince us out of that. Which brings us to this week and next week. I was going to do the whole lot this week and finish up. There's just too much for us to talk about, so I'm going to do part A, part B next week. So part A is today, so I'm glad you're here, because this week really and next week will tie everything together. Hopefully in a pretty little bow. Maybe not. Who knows? But we're going to look at, we're going to start by looking at a singular verse. It's going to be John 14:26 when we get there. But the reality check for us today is this. I want to give you the reality check straight off the bat, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit. The reality check is this. We are not helpless. We have a holy helper. We're not helpless. We have a holy helper. We have a helper. Let's pray. King Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're our Savior. Thank you that you reign with no rival, that you have no equal. Thank you that you created everything out of nothing. And it's you who provides all that we need. Thank you for taking our lives and turning them around. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you for giving us a new identity in you. All praise and glory belongs to you, King Jesus, today. And as we open your word, we ask that you speak to our hearts. Motivate us. Holy Spirit, come and empower us today. Do something amazing and speak through me and give me the energy to get to the end. In your name, amen. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Because I only have a couple of good stories. I don't live that interesting a life, but I have a couple of good stories. But there's a kid's story that goes about a kid that's in a sandpit, and the kid's in the sandpit, and he's playing around with his truck in the sandpit, and he's building sandcastles, and he's building tunnels, and he's doing all sorts of things in the sandpit. And then all of a sudden, he hits, as he was digging a tunnel, a rock. It's actually a big stone. And he hits the stone, he thinks, this is not good, I've got to get this stone out of the sandpit. So he starts digging around the stone, and it turns out to be quite a big rock, quite a big stone in the sandpit. And he's only 4 years old at this stage, and he's trying to lift this stone out of the sandpit. And he can't really lift it, he hasn't got the strength to actually get it out. And so he kind of tries to roll it a bit and he gets it to the edge of the sand pit and then he tries to lift this stone out. He just can't do it. He grunts, he moans, he complains, he's trying to get it. Eventually, he just breaks down in tears because he can't get the stone out of the sand pit. His father was watching from the living room all of this take place. And just as the kid is crying in the sand pit because he can't get this stone out and he doesn't know what to do, the shadow of the dad just overshines the son. And the son is there crying and the dad goes, "Why didn't you use all your strength to get the stone out of the sand pit?" And this poor boy just starts crying even more and goes, "But Dad, I did. I did everything possible to get the stone out. I tried my best to get it out." And the dad goes, "No, you didn't. Why didn't you use all your strength to get the stone out?" And the son, crying still, goes, "Dad, I did. Trust me, I did. Everything I've got, I just can't do it." And he goes, "No, you missed the point." He goes, "You could have come to me and I would have taken it out for you." And with that, the dad reaches down, grabs the stone, throws it straight out of the sand pit. And I love the story because the story kind of just highlights to me, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, that we have a helper with us. In fact, this is what it says in John 14, 26. Can I have the scripture come up? There it is. But the helper, say helper.
Helper.
Can I say it again? Helper. The helper, right? The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I have said to you. This one single verse, John 14, 26, just fills me with so much encouragement. To know that we have a helper. We have a helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Yes? Holy Spirit is our helper. Helper. And of all the names that we could have said in church and all the big Christian names we have and, you know, any man-made name that we could have used, right? I love the fact that the Bible just goes, the Holy Spirit is our helper. We understand helper. And I'm going to talk for me for a minute. But in my life, I need some help. Zoe will tell you I need help from time to time. Every single day I'm on the planet, I need help. I need help to have reality checks from time to time. I need help to remember that God is still in control. I need help to remember that the storms of life may not take me out, but they could be there to protect me from something more dangerous. I need to remember to zoom out and see what God is doing in my life from time to time. I need to remember to forgive reality, that reality happens. I need to remember who I am in Jesus Christ because the enemy will fill my head with lies. I need to remember every single day who my God is because I need help. I'm talking for me. You guys may be holier than me. Actually, no, I bet, I'm not a betting man because I'm a good salvo, but I bet anyway that every single person in this room needs help. I need help. We need help. And for some of us, when I said that, you were like, "That's an understatement and a half. I need more than just a little bit of help. I need a lot of help." And the scripture says we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to make some stuff really clear today because there's a lot of miscommunication. This is where I started slowing down in what I wanted to get to by the end of it, but we'll get there next week. There's a lot of miscommunication in the church. And a lot of people have taught things over the years about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit and what it looks like to have the Holy Spirit in your life. And for some of us, you know, we've seen some weird things happen and they've put it down under the power of the Holy Spirit and it's freaked us out or whatever. But the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is our helper. And whether you feel like it or not, and whether you believe me or not, or whether you've seen the strange language and you talk in the strange language, what we call talking in tongues, or for any other reason, the truth is this, right? This is the truth. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit. right? You have actually. Let me just prove it to you, because I don't just want to tell you this. Let me go to Scripture and show you this. Philippians 1, verse 19, coming up on the screens for you. For I know, this is Paul speaking, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply, say supply, of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? It's His Spirit that we have. If He have His Spirit, if we have Jesus in our hearts, then we have the Holy Spirit there as well. Right? If we've received that. This is part of the mystery of the Trinity. You know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the three are actually one, but the one are actually three. This is part of the mystery of it. If anybody could ever wrap their heads fully around this, then you're better than every single theologian on the planet that has ever existed, because nobody has worked out the full mystery of the Trinity. But this is what we believe. In fact, Romans 8, 9, here's another verse. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So in other words, the Spirit that dwells in is the Spirit of Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ. And I'm telling you, if you've accepted Jesus into your lives, you have the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's not a coconut. It's love. It's not talking in tongues. It's not doing this. You don't need to be baptized. You don't need to have someone lay hands on you. You don't need to speak in tongues. You don't need to do anything else. When Jesus said, "It is finished," you accepted Jesus into your heart, you received the Holy Spirit at the same time. Yeah? I want to make that very clear. And I've used Scripture to show you this. Turn to someone and say, "You have the Holy Spirit." You have the Holy Spirit. Now, can I get my umbrella? Bring my umbrella up. And I need two volunteers. Can I have just two people? Any two people? I don't care who you are. Come on. Anybody? Somebody? Come on up. Coming up. You're going to be up here for a while, but that's all right. Just stand over here. We'll just move these out of the way for a second. Oops. All right, come stand. Come and stand under the umbrella. I want to show you this in a picture format, because, you know, it makes sense. We're going to make you Jesus. We'll make you the Holy Spirit.
Is that wise?
Do we have? Oh, look, there's God up there. Excellent. Right. You're all God. You're all Holy Spirit. Make sure they don't fall off. They won't fall off. They should be fine. Right. And you're all under the umbrella. Get under the umbrella. You see, this is the thing, right? See, we have the Trinity, right? We've got the Trinity here, right? This is what the Scripture says, John 14, 6. I am the way. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me, right? So if we accept Jesus into our lives, then we get accepted into this family called the Trinity. We're not the fourth member of the Trinity, absolutely not. But we're joined with the Trinity. And we get to the Father through Jesus, yeah? Make sense? Do you see the picture? This is how we live life, right? We have the Holy Spirit helping us and guiding us. We have Jesus in our hearts. We have God the Father, you know, overshadowed. It is a good life, right?
Yep.
Who wants to be here?
Yeah,
yeah, come on. We're here, right?
Yeah.
This is where I got to say life gets a bit different for me. Because I'm here, don't get me wrong, but I'm not a hermit. I don't live in a cave, and I don't just sit there by myself with the Trinity, and we hang out, and that's all we do. And I interact with people. I have a job, I have a marriage, I have a family, I have a few other things going on. And those things are not bad things. I need a couple more volunteers. Can I have a couple more volunteers? I need one, maybe four more. Come on. See, I have a number of different things happening in my life, right? Because that doesn't picture my life fully. See, I have work. See, I work, right? I have some work that I've got to do. And I have, I'm married, so I have... Oh. Don't stick there. There we go. I'm married. I have a marriage. What else do I have? I have, let's get this one out. I have a family. Right, and I'm just giving you four examples here. Family, here we go. Yep. Thanks, Oscar. Good man. And then I have, you know, a bit of a, not much, but I have a bit of a social life. Oh, I don't want to stick your hair. So can you pull your hair? Yeah, that's good. All right, there we go. All right. So, like, now we're starting to get a bit more of a picture of what my life is like, right? And I'm slowing down a bit to really explain, because I'm not just here, but I have all this going on too. And a lot of the mistakes that we make is we don't allow God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus to actually enter into these areas of our life as well, right? We do this on Sunday, and we feel good on Sunday, but then on Monday and Wednesday, we kind of, does it make sense? But actually, this really doesn't picture my life yet either, because let's be honest, they're good things, and they're from God. Don't get me wrong, they're from God, these things. But it actually doesn't picture really what my life is like. There are other things happening. And the problem is this. Well, I've got a really dry mouth, so. Problem is this. I ate some chips last night and they were really salty and I think I dried out overnight. I don't know. Anywho, my life, right, when I have these things in it, right, there are things that attach themselves into these areas that actually are not of God. These things in themselves are not bad things. In fact, I would argue that God created family. And he did create family, did he not? Right? He created marriage. He said, let, you know, husband and wife be joined together, the two become one. Let what God has put together, let no man pull apart. Right, Steve? Who got married yesterday and is in church today? You know, social life and interacting with community, that's not a bad thing. God created that too, right? God created marriage and work. He wants us to work. He wants us to have spaces where we do ministry in. And you may not be called to ministry like me, like in a pastoral sense, getting paid for by the church, but he may have called you into a location where you are to bring the message of Jesus to those people for such a time as this. And so we have these things in my life, but the problem is that there are things that attach themselves to these things that are not of God. Does that make sense? Are things that attach. Let's just slow it down even further and talk about where's work. There's work. I might need a scribe. Can someone scribe? These were the biggest sticky notes I could find in our office space. It's shockingly terrible, but that's what we've got. Can you scribe for me, Michael? No, that's fine. Nobody needs to read it. They can just... You can scribe, Rita? Someone, I don't care who writes. Well, that would make sense. You sticker, sticky note thief thingy piece person. Here. All right.
And I've got all the pens too.
You got all the pens. Let's look at work, right? Now, when it comes to work, work in itself is not bad, right? We said that. Work is not bad. God calls us to work. But in some spaces, maybe not the salvo space, but in some spaces, we actually go to work and then all of a sudden we get a little bit selfish. We get some selfish ambition because we want to climb the corporate ladder, don't we? And a lot of people, you hear this in a normal context, they want to climb, write down selfish ambitions and stick it somewhere on work. On marriage. No, not on the paper, but on his shirt somewhere. Right? On work, not marriage, on work. Right? People climb the corporate ladder and they step on people and they push people down in order to get lifted up. Right? The other thing that happens in workspaces is we could develop a love for money. Love for money. Not in the Salvation Army, they don't pay us enough, but you know. No, we get treated very well. Let me just say that. But you can develop a love for money. Write down love for money, right? Other things that can happen is that the work itself, and this one happens in the army all the time, the work itself can become an idol. What do you do for a living? Oh, I run the salvos for the Southwest. Look at me. How good am I? It could become an idol, could it not? Oh, I do this or I do that. Big noting. Pushing ourselves up, but actually what are we doing? Pushing ourselves, we could push ourselves above God. And it could become an idol. Or we get up and we just go to work and we come home, we treat it as totally separate and lock God out of it completely. Write down idol, stick it to work. What about family? Let's talk about family for a minute. Huh? Because remember, God created Adam and Eve and told them to multiply and fill the earth and stuff, but when you go and visit your family and you see your sister or your brother-in-law who's got, you know, the perfect marriage and everything's going right and they've been in love for 1,000 years and everything, you start to comparison yourself to them, do you not? Write down comparisons. Come back, just make it up. It doesn't matter. Or when my kids were young, how about this one? When my kids were young, I wanted to control their relationships with their friends and control what they did because...
Family.
Because my kids, right, if I could control who they hung out with, then I could control their outcomes because I wanted them to have the best outcomes, didn't I? I didn't necessarily trust God to do that work, but I kind of... control, let's write down control. I'm only highlighting a couple from each thing that could attach itself. And I'm only looking at four areas, right? Right, control. Or manipulation, really. I was manipulating their relationships and what they did and what they watched and what they didn't watch. Let's write down manipulation as well, you know. In fact, our kids too can become idols. Because we push our kids and elevate kids because we want... because we love them so much, but do we love them more than we love God himself? It's all right, I have another booklet. It's fine. It's all good. Comparison, booklet. So you got manipulation, you got idols. Did you get idols?
It keeps falling off,
but... oh, well, just do this then. Just get a bit more sticky tape and just stick it on there somewhere. Like, just do that, right? Just use the sticky tape if we have to. There is a point to this, right? Idols. I tell you what, now that my kids are a little bit older and my son is driving and he says he's going to be home at 9 o'clock at night and 9 o'clock comes and then 9:05 comes and then 9:10 comes, the anxiety, I tell you, builds up, does it not? Let's write down anxiety, because that happens. I'm not sure that's from God. The family is, but I'm not sure the anxiety is. Oh, let's get to the harder one, marriage. You know, I've worked out in my 20 plus years of marriage that I could be a jerk sometimes.
No.
For that, I'm sorry, honey. But it's true. But before I got married, I wasn't selfish.
Oh, of course not.
Now that I'm married, there are times when I'm selfish. You want to learn about selfishness? Just get married, man. Like, that will do it. Right? Let's write down selfishness for marriage. Because we do. Let's say, I'm talking about me here. You guys might be holier than me. But we all need help, right? We all need help. Marriage, that selfishness can attach itself. How about pride? Zoe and I, when we were first married for the first 5 years or so, we played a game called what's the name of the game? And we used to say, what's the name of the game? Who wins? I win. What's the name of the game? I win. What were we really doing? I'm right, you're wrong. Pride. Pride. Let's write down pride. All right. These things can attach us. What about when we're talking about marriage and we're talking about being in relationship with someone? That's a thing that God has put together, right?
Yep.
What about talking about the past hurts that come into that? The baggage we bring into relationships. Past hurts. Write down past hurts. That's a big one, right? Because we all bring a certain amount of baggage. How you going there, people? You see, we want to be here. We want to be... we'll just get the Holy Spirit to help you, because he's the helper. That wasn't scripted, but that was so good. We want to be here, but the truth is we have all this other stuff happening in our lives. And let's what have we haven't done? Social life, right? We have social lives, right? I have a social life. I like to go out and play volleyball. I interact with a lot of people. In fact, social has been good, but the problem is if we start hanging around people who are like bad influences on us, bad influences, instead of good influences of us, they can lead us down a direction that's not necessarily of God, isn't it? And don't get me wrong, we need to hang around people who are Christians, who are going to lift us up, but we also need to hang around people who are non-Christians. And we've got to get that balance right, because if we hang around too many Christians, then we'll have no non-Christians, we won't have a ministry to them. But if we hang around too many non-Christians and don't have enough Christian friends, then they're going to lead us in the wrong direction. We need to get that balance right. Otherwise, we have some bad influences that are going to take us, that could creep in, that lead us away. How about this? Heard the saying, keep up with the Joneses? How many times do we measure up to someone else? We'll get to that in a minute. We should be like that person, that they have it all together. Why can't we be like, we start to measure up, and that's not a good thing. God created us to be individuals, did he not? Yes. To be unique. He's given us, you know, fingerprints that are individual to us. Because we are individually workmanship of God, but yet we measure ourselves to someone else that we know. Measuring up, let's write that down. Oh, very good. And when I think about social life, as Zoe preempted, I think about social media. Because we're social beings and we're on social media, and this is the digital age and this is the age we live in. And so we see what's happening in other people's lives on social media. Bear in mind, they're posting the top 2% of what, you know, their whole entire life, like the top 2% of what happens in their life. But we see it and we start to feel insecure in who we are because we don't measure up to who they are. Write insecurities down. I know, there's some long words here. For some of us, I don't have this problem because I'm very comfortable in my skin. But for some of us, when we get onto social media and we start to see some of the images and some of the things that are in TV ads and in social medias and all the people that are going on, right, we start to get body image issues. Body image issues. Let's write that one down. We get jealous. We get jealous because we're seeing how much fun they're having on their holiday, with their perfect family, that's all going great. And when we go on holidays with our family, all hell breaks loose and the kids go crazy and possessed by demons, but yet their holiday is just so good, and so we get jealous of what's going on in their life. Jealousy. Fear and anxiety, that creeps in on all four. Come on, doesn't it not? Let's just write fear and anxiety. We'll put it on social life as well. If you're not careful, gentlemen, I suppose ladies as well in this day and age, there are images online now that you can get free access to. Quite often, that could develop a bit of lust in your eyes. So let's put lust down. That could creep in and attach itself to something. Now, this is starting to feel more like my life. Lust. We're almost there? Great. Fantastic. And so I'm here on a Sunday and I feel great. But during the week, then I'm here. And the noise of all of this drowns out anything the Holy Spirit is going to try and help me with. Isn't it? I wanted to do this as a picture because it really paints a picture of what happens for us. That on a Sunday when we sing worship songs and we gather together, oh, I feel the Holy Spirit talking to me and it's great, it's fantastic, and God is there, and Jesus is my, and I'm just feeling so, so good. And then on Monday I'm like, oh, good Lord, I'm dealing with all of this stuff. And the noise just overtakes and overpowers. And the question for us really is, right? I have no idea where I'm up to anymore. The question really is for us is, if the Holy Spirit is our helper, then how is he going to help me with all of this? Because that's the question really, isn't it? If we're not helpless and we have our helper, and we have the Holy Spirit, how's the Holy Spirit going to help me here? I think we've got to do two things. We've got to do two things, and then the Holy Spirit will do two things. Although the Holy Spirit's already doing the two things, but we need to do the two things in recognizing the Holy Spirit's doing his two things. Does that make sense? It's kind of like it's not A plus B equals, it's a, you see, the first thing we got to do is we got to recognize we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit with us. We actually got to recognize that. A lot of people and a lot of us have switched the Holy Spirit off, right? Because we've heard so many things, weird things about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we've heard, you know, these strange things that happen, like talking in tongues or, you know, raising people from dead, you know, miracles. And we kind of get a bit shaked off. And so what we do is we recognize the Holy Spirit, but we kind of put him on the outer edge. We recognize, we say, we actually got to understand this is our helper. Come back in, come back in, come back in, come back in, under. We got to recognize that he's our helper, right? That the Holy Spirit is there for us. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing we've got to do is recognize we actually have the Holy Spirit with us. The second thing we've got to do is we've got to prioritize the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Well, on Sunday, it's easy. We just worship. Come Holy Spirit. I can't sing, but I'm okay with that. I don't have images about me singing. Fall afresh on me. Fill me with your power. Satisfy my needs. Do you know the song? Mm-hmm. Only you can make me whole. We got to prioritize. When we start to worship, when we start to focus our attention on God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden, the noise becomes a little quieter. And I can prove it to you. Because on Sundays, doesn't all of this become quieter? When we drift into this? Does it not? Come on, let's be honest. This becomes a bit quieter. But then on Monday it gets to here again and we get a bit, ugh. And Wednesday and Friday. You see, if we want help here and access the helper's help, then we've got to prioritize getting closer so that we can hear what the Holy Spirit's going to say to us. Make sense? That's what we need to do. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Can I have John 16:13 come up on the screen? Here we are. But when he, talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all that is true, for all the truth. He will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And so as we start to worship, as we start to connect with God, as we start to prioritize him in our life, come with, follow me, every God. He comes along, right? And the Holy Spirit comes along and he says, you know what? That's not true. Just drop it. That's not true. And that's not of me. And that's not of me. And that's not of me. And he says, get rid of it. And then he goes over to work and he says, nah, that's not of me, that's not of me, that's not of me, get rid of it. Then he gets to marriage and goes, that's not of me, that's not of me, that's not of me. This is what's true, husband and wives together, keep that, but get rid of everything else. Then he gets to social life and he says, these things are not true, get rid of it all, but have a social life, get into it. Does that make sense? And so we bring God into these spaces. You can go back there now. Thank you very much. In fact, you could all go and sit down. Give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. See, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And the Spirit of Truth will tell us, right? Will tell us what we need to hold on to and what we need to get rid of. But to hear the Holy Spirit, we've got to get and prioritize to be with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? We've got to be with the Holy Spirit to prioritize what is, otherwise we're going to miss. We're going to miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. And the problem is that we miss that all the time because we've got so much noise of everything else happening. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is in the next verse, John 16, 14. It says, He being the Holy Spirit will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking, not me, Mark Schatz, but me as in Jesus, because Jesus is saying this. The Holy Spirit, or He, will glorify me because it is from me and you will receive what you will make known to you. The Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus. You see, it's not necessarily an A plus B equals C. It's a circular kind of thing. The Holy Spirit's always going to point us back to Jesus. And when we get to Jesus and worship Jesus, we're prioritizing Jesus. And when we prioritize Jesus, then we hear the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes along and says, no, that's not true. That's true. That's not true. That's true. That's not true. Does that make sense? Right? We've got to prioritize Jesus. You know, like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. They won't disappear. They won't just go away. They will still be there. But they will get dim. They will lose their emphasis because what have we done? We have prioritized the Holy Spirit in our lives. Listening to. We'll grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I'll get the keys to come up, but we have a helper, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. But there is a catch to all of this. A catch. We need to recognize the Holy Spirit is with us. Yes. We need to prioritize the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes. We need to do what the Holy Spirit says. Hello. That's a bigger problem, isn't it? Because when the Holy Spirit says, that's not of me, don't dwell on that, don't think on that, don't be on there, then that's a bit different, isn't it? To actually try and put that in, to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. As we focus on Jesus and not the things of the world, but then we hold on to things because we don't want to be obedient to what God calls us to do, what the Holy Spirit tells us. He's trying to help us by showing us the truth. He's trying to help us by pointing us back to Jesus. We all have the Holy Spirit, the reality check, that all of this, the storms of life, that the times we need to forgive reality, the times where we forget who we are in Jesus Christ, the times when we encounter all this other stuff that attaches itself to our lives. We got to remember we're not helpless. We have a holy helper. Yeah? We have a holy helper. The helper will be there to guide us. The helper will be there to show us the way and to show us what is true. The helper will be the one that points us back to Jesus. But we got to do what the helper tells us to do. Church, we're not helpless. We have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit. So we're going to sing this song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. But I want to give you one more scripture, one we've actually just looked at in a second ago. Philippians 1, verse 19. And this is Paul writing it. Singers come up, band come up. This is Paul writing this. And he says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through the prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For I know the guy's in prison, held up on chains, in a dark hole, probably starving, beaten, ready to be executed. And he knows? How do you know, Paul? Paul? How do you know everything is going to be all right, Paul? How do you know that you're going to make it through, Paul? How do you know that you're not helpless and that you have a helper? It says it right there. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You've got to want it. You've got to want it. Paul wanted it, and it got him through one of the darkest times in his life. You've got to want it. If you want the helper, you've got to want it. He'll get you through whatever trial, whatever trouble, whatever thing you find yourself in. That's the whole point of this reality check series. Storms of life, identity and who we are in Christ. Forgive reality and forgiveness when things go south. It's the whole point. Sometimes we just need to remember the ultimate reality check is we're not helpless. We have a helper. Next week is part two, and you don't want to miss part two. But let's sing this song. If God is speaking to you, you can stand where you are. And maybe the prayer for you is, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit. I want that filling again, Holy Spirit. I need that filling again. I need the helper in my life. If God is speaking, just pray out to him as we sing. Turn your eyes.